нашумевшей части российского страхового рынка, это как, что происходит в автомобильном рынке, в рынке автострахования с точки зрения международного эксперта сейчас, и какие катализаторы его роста должны быть в будущем. Пожалуйста, Пол.
Well, thank you, Sergey. I've made a few observations in the last year or so that I've been here, and I'm just going to highlight some things which I think are different in Russia from the EU, and try and identify places where maybe Russia could learn from things that happen elsewhere, some places where Russia could copy but do better than it's done in the EU, and some things which I believe Russia should firmly not copy from the West. So, moving to my next slide, please. I think there are three areas that I want to look at. Products, efficiency in technology, and regulation. So we'll move to products first of all. Next one, please. In Russia, the dynamic of car insurance is very different from the West. So in Russia, around about 100% of people claim every year, on average, versus in the UK, around about 20%. And the impact of this on Russian consumers is that they pay significantly more for their car insurance in Russia than they do elsewhere, something like double or even more. And there are some quite simple reasons for this. Firstly, insurance companies have no way of recognising whether a new customer is a good or bad customer when they come in the door. So they have to take this customer on at a high price and then learn before they do their renewal. But there are a couple of things that happen elsewhere that can really help this. First of all, most companies in other countries make customers take products with deductibles. This is a massive disincentive to claim. It doesn't only reduce claims costs, but it reduces claims handling costs. And deductibles in the Russian market, I'm led to believe, are in somewhere in the region of 5 to 10% of policies. Secondly, there's no bonus malus system. There's no claims discount available to customers when they come in as new customers. So they can't come into a new company and give some evidence of how good or bad a driver they are and get the appropriate price for the risk that they represent. So that's one thing I think that Russia could certainly copy from the West. The second thing is looking at the pricing that happens in both Russia and the West, and I think that probably neither market has anything to learn from each other. As many people have identified this year, there have been brutal cash underwriting in Russia. Underwriting for cash flow in the short term rather than profits in the long term. And this is certainly the case in other markets as well. So in the UK, since 1985, the combined ratio, combination of claims and expenses, has only been below 100% in 2 years out of the last 20 or so years. So there's certainly nothing to learn there. And finally, looking at the Asaga product, I think several people have mentioned Asaga, compulsory motor insurance. First of all, it's highly regulated, the prices are controlled by the state, and secondly, we make it very complicated for customers to buy, because if customers want to buy Kaskia and Asaga, they have to buy two separate policies. Moving on to efficiency and technology, and I'm going to say again some things that have been said before, so next slide please. Many markets share a common fraud database, so it's a database of claims that happen in the marketplace, and this is very useful for insurance companies in preventing fraud and identifying fraud. It could also be used by insurance companies to identify no claims entitlements, although it's not actually commonly used in the EU for that, so this is an area where Russia could copy and exceed what happens elsewhere. Another database that does exist in most markets is a database of cars, and there's no uniform database of cars that I'm aware of in Russia, and certainly no access for insurance companies. And what this can be used for is to significantly simplify the process of buying car insurance, because you can give one simple piece of information, typically your license plate, your registration plate, and that's all the information you need to give about your car. From that we can should be able to identify all the characteristics of the car, the make, the model, colour, how many doors, and so forth. It can also be used to prevent fraud, so it can be used to stop people buying duplicate insurance on their car and claiming twice for staged accidents. It can be used to make sure that the car actually exists, and it can be used to make sure that the details of the registration documents match the actual vehicle that's being insured. And finally, something that does happen in the UK and I think other markets in Europe is that because you have a database of cars, the government are then able to enforce car tax from the database. So if you don't buy CarTax, you just get a fine that comes through the post. You don't have to be stopped by the police, and that's first of all, increases compliance with buying CarTax, and secondly, makes it much cheaper for the government to enforce. And the next database I want to talk about is a database insurance, and there's no database of that here. Database insurance can be useful, again, for the government, because it can be used to enforce that customers are actually buying a saga for their cars, and it's very easy to enforce, and the government, again, can fine you straight through the post. And secondly, for insurance companies, it makes it very easy to trace who the insurer is for a third-party insurance company. So if one of your customers has an accident with someone else, it's very easy to identify. I think what we're starting to see in Russia now is that, as in many other marketplaces, direct insurance is starting to take off. People are starting to buy insurance over the internet and the telephone, especially car insurance. And in Russia, we've got this kind of barrier that's in place because, yes, a customer can buy their car insurance on the phone or on the internet, but then they have to have their policy delivered to them, they have to sign their documents. And it would be much easier if we could email the policy documents to the customer and they didn't have to sign the return, which is common in many other marketplaces. Similarly, payment methods in Russia are complicated, so a lot of people tend to still pay cash for their policies. The process of collecting money by direct debit is not established well. I understand direct debits are pretty difficult to set up. Direct debits are significantly easier for the customer. They don't have to do anything. They just have to agree to pay, and the insurance company can do the rest of it for them. They're lower cost to the insurance company because the company doesn't have to handle cash. And they also help insurance companies to improve their performance on renewals, so to improve renewal retention. And finally, there's no process in Russia for managing driving convictions. So when customers commit driving offences, even small ones like running a red light or something, there's no record of what that customer has done. This will be incredibly useful for not only for the government and for society in general in terms of improving road safety, but also for insurance companies in terms of understanding how good a driver is. So that if there's some central register of convictions, and if there was a conviction process, then we would understand when someone comes in whether they're a good or bad driver, in addition to their claims experience. And my final area that I want to look at on the next slide is around regulation. And I identified three things that I think could be looked at in regulation. There are some restrictive practices in Russia. So car manufacturers still insist that cars under one warranty are serviced and repaired at the official dealers, and the official dealers can of course then charge higher prices because they know that the customers have to come to them for their car servicing. This practice has been made illegal both in Europe and in the United States. In Europe there's some exemptions to some of the restrictive practices in dealers, but not around servicing repairs. And in fact, car manufacturers have to provide information on technology to unofficial dealers to help them service cars well. And the second area of restrictive practice is in banks, where banks are able to tell their customers taking bank loans to buy cars which insurance companies they can use to buy their bank loans. And again, in the EU, this was a practice that happened many times, so particularly with mortgages, actually. So customers taking mortgages were told where to buy their home insurance, and if they chose to go elsewhere, they were often charged a fee for it. That was stopped. And finally, I think it's around the whole area of regulation. So I think there's a difference in the way that regulation works in Russia from the EU. So in Russia, regulation tends to be around regulating prices, regulating products, and regulating capital requirements. And I think I would describe that as regulating inputs, regulating how you do things. But in the EU, regulation tends to be about regulating outputs, that tends to be around measuring what an insurance company does. And typically that regulation looks at two things. It looks at how you treat your customers, so whether you treat them with transparency, whether you give them honest truth about the products and services they're buying, whether you tell them about the commissions that they are paying to intermediaries, and around capital requirements, of course, as well. I think there's something definitely that Russia should not learn from the EU and certainly should not learn from the United Kingdom, and that's around gold plating regulation. So in the United Kingdom, they tend to have taken existing UK regulation, EU regulation, and then combined it to get the strictest combination of those things, and it's given us the worst of all worlds. And it's given us overly onerous regulation, and it's given us ridiculously high, or unlimited actually, personal injury cover for people involved in car accidents, which gives insurance companies huge problems in terms of managing the balance sheet and the risk, because you've got unlimited liability. So not even the United States has this. But, so that's certainly something that Russia should not copy from the United Kingdom. So in summary, the next slide please. I think, yes, Russia has the opportunity to copy best practice in certain areas to make car insurance cheaper for customers and to provide better consumer protection. There are certainly some mistakes that Russia should avoid. So it should avoid excessive cover, especially on personal injury, and should avoid excessive regulation. And there are areas where Russia can leapfrog, can overtake what's happened in process and technology. Thank you.
Спасибо, Paul.